Hey, want to learn more about the last great fishing frontier? Then look no further than FishingCanada.com.
Oh, buddy, that's a tank. That's a tank.
The biggest and most comprehensive website dedicated exclusively to, you guessed it, fishing in Canada. Videos, blogs, how-tos, and GPS waypoints to some of Canada's best fishing hotspots and much, much more. We'll even show you how to prepare a world-famous Canadian shore lunch. If you love fishing, then you'll love FishingCanada.com. Welcome back to the program. Outdoor journalist, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Angelo Viola, Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis. Just having fun here on this wonderful weekend, weekend.
Like we always do.
Like we always do. The past 50 years, apparently, we've lost 3 billion birds. Now, 3 billion birds. Like, that is a number I can't even comprehend.
It's a lot of birds.
3 billion birds, and they've disappeared. And the trend is obviously very disturbing. Now, the report is based on a compilation of data from a number of surveys, and we invited one of the authors of this report, Adam Smith, to join us this morning from the Canadian Wildlife Service to maybe give us a little insight on what the heck's going on. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Morning, Angelo. Thanks for your interest.
Oh, absolutely a pleasure. I mean, it's pretty disturbing. And when you look, I mean, 3 billion birds. I can't even visualize the space that would take on this planet. 3 billion birds are gone. Incredible.
Yeah. It's striking, isn't it? And so, this report is kind of the first of this study. Is the first time that we've ever been able to actually count them up, to come up with a total number of birds in North America. And it's the number that are coming back in the spring and laying their eggs. So over the course of the year, of course, the number of birds fluctuates after they lay their eggs. There's many more of them. But 3 billion is what we've lost in terms of that net population that comes back in the spring to breed. And that's 3 billion out of a total of 10 in 1970. So we're talking about almost 30%.
That's
across 500 species, and it's a really striking number.
I have to ask you the obvious. How do we know they're gone? I mean, and I know this is a stupid comment I'm about to make, but I can back it up. How do we know they're not just missing? Because I know a few years ago, and I'm going to say about 15, maybe 18 years ago, the Fraser River on our west coast reported that there was, and I don't remember the numbers, but you know, 100 million sockeye salmon were missing, had gone, disappeared. And then, lo and behold, a couple of years later, they said, oh, you know what? We found them. They just didn't come in. And so my question to you is, it's a big planet. How do we know that they're gone?
Yeah. Yeah, and uncertainty. So my job title is senior biostatistician. And so statistics and uncertainty are my, that's my bread and butter. And those are the questions that keep me up at night, for sure. The thing is, with this number, is that we know more about birds than we do about any other component of the natural system. We don't know nearly as much about fish because they're invisible. They're underwater. You can't see them very well. Birds are ubiquitous throughout the environment. They're easy to spot. They're easy to identify. And we have thousands of volunteers across the continent who go out every year and count birds in rigorous, standardized ways. These are the really awesome, skilled people who can hear a tiny little sparrow sneeze in the bushes and know exactly what that sparrow had for lunch. But that's the thing with birds. We know a lot about birds, and so these numbers are pretty rigorous. We have information from volunteer surveys across the continent that have been going on for 50 years. We have information from professionally conducted waterfowl surveys. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Canadian Wildlife Service cooperate on counting waterfowl every year. And so we've compiled information on from 20 different surveys for more than 500 species to generate these numbers. And there is some uncertainty around that number. Our best estimate is that somewhere between 2.5 and $3.5 billion is what we've lost. But the uncertainty is small in relation to the total number.
Now, is this in terms of geography? Is this sort of a global thing? Is it one particular area? And and how about species? Is it a cross section of all species, or is it affecting one more than the other?
Yeah, so it's North America, and when we say North America in this context, we're really talking about the United States and Canada, because we just don't have the kind of data south of the U.S. border for Mexico that we do for the rest of North America.
Okay.
So that's the number for essentially for the U.S. and Canada, and it's information across 500 species, and what we're seeing is that the declines are consistent across almost all groups of species. So we're talking about everything from meadowlarks in our grasslands and savanna sparrows, et cetera, to warblers in the forest, warblers in the temperate forest, the boreal forest, the Arctic, arid lands in the U.S. Southwest. We're seeing declines across almost all of those biomes. And so it's a really consistent pattern that we're seeing here. And particularly what we're seeing is that the most common bird species are the ones that are most likely to be in decline.
Oh, okay. So I was going to ask you that. Are these rare to start with or not? You're telling me it's the most common, and that's disturbing for sure. For example, I know that we are on the cusp of losing barn swallows, for example, and whippoorwills. And I grew up with those birds. I mean, I chased them around the meadows and stuff. To think that they may be gone in my lifetime, that's pretty disturbing.
Yeah, and those are two species exactly that are certainly on our radar and have been, because they're a group that we ornithologists, biologists think of as the aerial insectivores, so things like swallows and swifts and things that catch insects while they're flying.
Yeah,
they're in steep decline across the continent, and there's two good examples of them: the whippoorwill and the barn swallows.
You know, but there was a bird.
But it's more than just the rare endangered species. Not to take anything away from some of those species that are listed as species at risk, but what we're really showing here is that it's not limited to the species at risk. It's the most common ubiquitous species in our environment that are showing some of these declines. Things like song sparrows and feeder birds, like juncos. And meadowlarks and birds that even some of the habitat generalists like red-winged blackbirds are in steep decline.
Wow. Well, how's the nighthawk doing?
Yeah, so nighthawks are another aerial insectivore, and they're not doing great. They're one of the species that's been listed.
And the reason I mention them is because that's another one of the birds that, as a kid, I recall sitting on my front veranda at night and listening to them dive and catch their mosquitoes wherever they were eating. So that's a shame. Yep. That's an absolute shame. Is there any positive news that we can take away from all this?
Yeah, there is. And there are some bright spots here that can hopefully point the way to some solutions. So there are two groups that we see in this result, and we know from other work, that have been recovering over the last 50 years from historical conservation crises, and so waterfowl are on the increase, and that's continent wide, and that's largely a result of improved approaches to wetland conservation.
Yep.
So we're talking there about Ducks Unlimited Canada and Ducks Unlimited in the U.S.
Yep.
And their partners, and some of the government partners and individuals, and that's it. So that's just a tremendous success story. Hunters and DU and all their partners have done a fantastic job of improving the way we conserve wetlands, and we see that in the response of the birds.
The other
group that we see a response in are raptors, and that's something that I think anyone who's been outside in the last 20 years has really kind of noticed. But all of a sudden, we're seeing things like ospreys and bald eagles, and peregrine falcons are making a comeback. And that's really a function of the banning of DDT back in the 70s and 80s. And what those two groups tell us is that when we follow the science, we follow the data, and we act, cooperating across national boundaries, et cetera, when we act, conservation works and the birds recover.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the hunters and their conservation efforts, because I do believe that, and I'm going to speak on behalf of anglers as well, I do believe that the only and I hate saying only, but I'm going to use only, the only groups that we can count on to volunteer, roll up their sleeves, invest money, and take care of wildlife and wild places seems to be the two user groups, hunters and anglers. And, you know, everybody else bellyaches about things, but they don't roll up their sleeves and get out and get dirt under their nails. And those two groups do. And I'm glad you mentioned that the waterfowl situation is due primarily to those groups. So I'm glad.
I completely agree. Those two groups, I shouldn't speak out of turn, but I don't know much about fish. But absolutely, the response from the hunting organizations and hunters in general have been a big part of the success of wetland conservation and the recovery of waterfowl populations.
What can folks do if they want to get involved?
So there are a number of things people can do. One thing folks can do is head over to a website, 3billionbirds.org. That's all one word with the number 3. And that's a website that's been set up largely as a result of this study. Some of the conservation organizations involved in this study have set up a website, and there are some really neat things there, lists of things that people can do. In essence, we haven't looked in this study at causes of the declines, but we know really well from lots of other work that what's largely going on here is habitat loss. Yeah. And so we need to support programs that support the conservation of habitat, the conservation of whether it be parks, green spaces, wetlands, etc., but also the the reduction of the impacts of human activity even within our working landscapes as well. And also I should add as well, outside of Canada, because most of our birds here, as I'm sure most of your listeners know, are migratory.
Right.
So working within Canada is not sufficient. We need to also be engaging our international partners on some of that conservation.
Sounds fantastic. Once again, where can folks go? Give that URL again.
So it's 3billionbirds.org, O-R-G.
Perfect. Adam, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks very much for your interest, Angelo.
Adam Smith, Canadian Wildlife Service, Environment and Climate Change Canada. There you go. Fascinating.
That's a lot of birds.
You didn't know I knew that much about birds, did you?
No.
When I started throwing in the nighthawk and all that stuff, eh?
Especially the swallow. I was like, cool, look
exactly.
At you.
Who would have thunk that? I did. That's who.
Yeah.
I would have.